So what I did last week and this week is just kind of explore some of these little more obscure passages. It's the end of summer, it's Labor Day weekend, it's kind of like, let's just have a little fun and do something a little lighter for a couple weeks before we really get into the swing of things. So I want to explore this passage that Pam just read for us. This is a kind of a different passage, and it's not one you hear a lot. And I'll be honest, I very rarely run across this one. And somebody did tell me, actually two people now, told me that they had it in their children's Bible, okay? I never saw it in a children's Bible, but two different people have told me they have seen it in their children's Bible. And I'm like, that's a choice, but we're going to talk about this. So this story takes place in the book of Numbers, and I know as soon as I say the book of Numbers, what you're all thinking is, there's a book called Numbers? It's not one we read a lot, but there's some really good stuff in there. What it is it's part of that series, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that tells the story of the people of Israel coming out of slavery in Egypt and going into the Promised Land. And so they're on this journey, going through the Sinai wilderness to the Promised Land. And they've been out there for a long time. God's been working with them. God's been shaping them, and they're ready to go into the Promised Land. And we always think they go Egypt, Sinai wilderness, and through the south end of the Promised Land, but what they actually do is they're swinging around the Dead Sea and coming at it from the east. They're going to cross through the Jordan River right by where Jericho is. And to get to that, they're going to swing around to the east, and in the east, there's this nation called Moab. And the king of Moab is this guy by the name of Balak. And Balak is like, there's a lot of Israelites coming down the road. Can't have this. Because whether you take a look at the book of Numbers and you read it literally and say, this is the number of the Israelites, or whether you read it poetically, where it says, poetically, there's a lot of Israelites. There's a lot of Israelites, okay? One way or the other, there's a lot of Israelites coming down the road. And so Balak, the king of Moab, is like, this is going to be bad. I got to do something about this. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to go find that prophet Balaam and have him put a curse on the Israelites. And I want to take just a second to explain something that will make your reading the Old Testament so much easier. Okay? And when you read Old Testament, even some of the New Testament, this will really help. In the year 2026, if you say, I am a Christian, I am a Jew, I am a Muslim, what you're saying is, my God is real, your God is imaginary. Christian, Jewish, Muslim, we would all say that. My God's real, your God isn't. Okay. 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, if you said to a Philistine, to any one of these neighboring tribes, a Moabite, and said, you know, my God is real, your God is imaginary, they would have looked at you like, what are you smoking? Okay. Because the way it was back then is, my God's real, your God is real, my God can beat up your God. Exactly. This is the whole thing with the prophets of Baal versus Elijah at Mount Carmel. They have this giant fight over whose God's bigger. God of Israel's bigger. Prophets of Baal end up dead. Okay? This is why the whole thing, David versus Goliath, the reason the Philistine army breaks and runs when Goliath goes down is not because you got this shepherd kid with a wicked sling. It's because they look at Goliath as a proxy for their God, and they're like, oh, our God cannot measure up against this God. So what's happening here is Balak says, I'm going to hire this guy. He can make his God do what he wants. We'll deal with the Israelites this way. So what happens? Balak says, here's a truckload of money. You go put a curse on those Israelites. Some back and forth happens. I'm going to kind of condense the story a little bit. Balaam gets on his donkey, starts walking towards where he's going to put this curse down. And you want to go put that next slide? There's really cool art here. We'll come back to this in a minute. Next slide, please. But this is where it picks up. Now, God's anger was kindled because Balaam went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now, Balaam was riding on the donkey with two servants who were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. Okay, so Balaam, the donkey, two servants, they're going down the road. And then God sends an angel, big sword. Now, the only thing to see the angel and the sword is the donkey. So the donkey's like, I don't want to die. So she tries to go around, tries to go around the other way, and tries to go this way and that way, and eventually flops down on the road, just like, we're done. We can't go any farther. Balaam, as you heard Pam read, Balaam is having none of it and commits a little light animal cruelty, beats the donkey repeatedly. And finally, you want to go to the next slide? And this is what I love. The Lord opens the mouth of the donkey, and she says to Balaam, what have I done that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam says to the donkey, because you have made a fool out of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for I would kill you. And what's funny is Balaam proceeds to argue with the donkey for a while. Now, friends, I will tell you this. I have been mad at some points in my life. But I think if an animal starts talking to me, I would stop for a moment and either say, okay, why is this animal talking to me? Or ask somebody to drive me to the ER, because clearly I am having some event that's health related. But Balaam proceeds to argue with the donkey. And the thing is that there's only two talking animals in the Bible. There's the serpent at the Garden of Eden, and there's this donkey. So you and I have as much experience as Balaam does talking to donkeys, okay, or talking animals. This is all the same thing. This is just as new to him. It's not like, oh, this happens every Tuesday. It's like, oh, I've never seen this before. But he gets so mad, he wants to kill the donkey. Now, the donkey's like, hey, did I ever do this? I'm doing this so we don't die. And then at this point, God opens the eyes of Balaam. Balaam sees the angel and the big old sword. And he's like, oh, I get it now. I see what's going on. I really screwed up. So here's something I want to point out for you. Actually, let me start here. So here's question one for you today. What's the truth you can't hear right now? What's the thing that's going on in your life that you just are not capable of hearing? Now, I want to point out this line here, and I haven't preached on this passage in 18 years, okay? So I don't remember if you noticed this before, but it just stood out to me this week. Because Balaam says to the donkey, you have made a fool out of me. He's so mad he can't see it, and he's upset. His pride is wounded. So the thing is, here he is on his way to his own destruction, and his pride is why he's mad. Choice between looking like a fool or dying. And how many of us would be like, I'd rather die than look like a fool? So set in our ways that we can't do anything. I remember once when I was back in college and I was having this discussion about faith. I was having this discussion about belief in God and everything else. And somebody says, what do you need to see or what do you need to hear? How are you going to believe? And I'm like, how about big, giant, fiery letters across the sky speaking to me? And I was, believe it or not, kind of a smart aleck when I was younger. I know that's a shock to all of you here today. But it's funny because reflecting on that later, as I like to think I've gained a little wisdom over the years, I wonder how much I would have believed even if there was big fiery letters across the sky, or if I just would have been too proud to see them or come up with some excuse as to why it didn't apply to me. And I do think sometimes we get in that mode just like Balaam, where God is speaking to us, God is saying something to us, and we just can't hear it because of our pride or not wanting to look like a fool. And we end up in that self-destructive mode. So let's come at the other side of this, and let's talk about the donkey. The donkey exemplifies what we should all be doing. Paul in Ephesians 4:15, talks about speaking the truth in love. And as we do that, we're supposed to say these things, the truth, out of love. Too often, we fall in one of two categories. We say, I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to bring down the hammer of judgment because these people need to be confronted with their sin. And what we do is instead of speaking truth and love, we just speak judgment. It's not even truth anymore. It's just as anger, it's judgment. It's just like bringing down the hammer on people. And they can't hear because there's no love there. There's no respect there. And if we've all been on the receiving end, and I suspect we've all been on the receiving end of that sometimes, you know, you're just like, I'm just getting beaten up and there's no hope. Why even listen anymore at this point? The other mistake we have is we say we're just speaking love. But the problem is that just gets to affirming people with wherever they're at. And it's not helpful. Think about if the donkey had been in that mode, where the donkey's like, I'm just going to love Balaam and let Balaam do whatever he feels like he's called to do. Where does Balaam end up at that point? He ends up sliced up. Sliced up like sushi. And that's the thing for us, is we are called to speak that truth in love to the people around us, to help them stop hurting themselves and others. And that's hard. It takes courage and it takes integrity. Let me tell you about one of the best examples I have experienced of that. Back in my last congregation, there was a guy I wasn't close to. I was friendly, but you know how it is when you're friendly with somebody, but you're not real close friends. Nice guy, smart guy, thoughtful guy. His kids were just a little younger than our kids at the time. And he gets a hold of me and says, hey, Mike, there's something you said in the sermon, and I have an issue with it. Let's get together and talk it through. And I got to admit, I got that. I'm just like, I did not want to do that. But I'm like, okay, you're right, we should. So we ended up getting together for lunch at The Habit, which is like best burger joint in SoCal. I just love that place. I miss it. And we sit down for lunch. And here's the funny part. I do not remember what he disagreed with in the sermon. I do not remember my response. But I remember we had a great conversation. And we get out and we're both saying, thank you. Because we both felt heard, we both felt understood, we both came out with this new sense of respect for each other, and it was awesome, because it was this great way of walking through things together. And I just have to credit him for this, because it's like he modeled that, speaking the truth in love, of saying, here's what the issue is, but stopping and listening. And that's what we're all called to do, to work through these things. Let me give you something else here. Let me show you this. This, anybody know what this is? I know you're all thinking it's a rope, but I know it's a trick question. It is, that's what it is, it's a rope, okay? This is what I wear when I get all formal and stuff and wear the robe and everything else like I do every Sunday at 8:30. But this thing is called a cincture, which is just a rope. What you put on like this, and you put it through there, and tie it like that. This knot, I have been told, I have not fact-checked this, but my understanding in the tradition is that this knot is the same thing that you use to tie up livestock, specifically beasts of burden. And I tell you that because it is a reminder for all of us as pastors to say that we are not the ones in charge. And it's the same thing for all of us. So what I want to tell you is to be like the donkey and remember that we're there to be humble. We're there to be servants. We're there to be speaking the truth. We're not there in judgment. What was Balaam doing? Balaam was putting himself in place of God. The donkey is just like, I'm just trying to keep people from getting killed today. Okay? And understanding where she's at in this scenario. She doesn't even have a name in this scenario. But that's something for us to remember, that we are called to be servants and called to be beasts of burden. Even when we're speaking the truth in love, we're not there lording it over others. We're not there casting down judgment. But we're called to speak the truth. Let me circle back to this. It's where I started a few minutes ago. What's the truth you need to hear right now? Balaam needed to hear the truth that he was going to die if he kept on this road. Jesus says in John chapter 8, my favorite verse, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So what is the truth that you need to hear right now? As we always say, there is more pain and more trouble in this room than any of us know. More worries, more broken relationships, more financial stuff, more health concerns than any of us know. It's endemic. It just is the human condition. But there is some truth from God that you need to hear. Maybe it's some way that you've hurt people around you or are hurting people around you. Maybe it's knowing that God has always loved you and will always love you. Maybe it's knowing that Jesus loves you enough to have died for your sins and to put you in a right relationship with him. But there is some truth that you need to hear. And what I want to encourage you this week, what I want to challenge you to do this week, is to pray about that. To pray that God would put in your life people to speak that truth to you. To say those hard things out of love. Out of hope that you can become closer to God. And that is a challenge for all of us. So my encouragement for those of you who get asked that question is to speak that truth in love. To thoughtfully and prayerfully consider that. So you can be like Balaam's donkey. Although hopefully without getting beat up too much. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this story and this example. We pray you would help us to hear those things. You would help us to hear that truth to prevent our destruction, to prevent us from going down the wrong paths. We pray that you would give us wisdom to speak the truth in love, to bear people up, to love people, but also share the places where they've gone wrong, and to be able to say it out of joy and love, not out of anger or judgment. And most of all, we pray that you would be glorified in everything we do. Amen.